Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 8 and read down through verse 14. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating or prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. We'll stop right there today. Now, as we said last time, in these verses that are like this, that carry two or three different... the verses themselves stand independently, we're not sure how far we'll get. There's a verse here that I'd like to spend some time on, and I have several verses that I'd like to share with you, reference verses for this one verse. We'd like to just camp out there for just a little while. But we won't keep you long, but just wanted to keep that in mind. If we don't make it down to verse 14, it's not the end of the world. We'll pick up there next time, Lord willing. Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 8 of chapter 10, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Prating fool. This word prating means a babbler or a chattering, someone who is constantly talking or chattering or just has that characteristic about them. They say everything they think and they reveal what's in their heart, and they're just chatterboxes. That's what this is talking about, word prating. But the wise in heart will receive commandments. The wise in heart, I believe the contrast here is the thought that those that are wise will wait to share the knowledge or the wisdom that they have until they have all the facts. You know, sometimes folks will just say what they think when they don't have all the facts, all the information. And that's extremely important, especially for the child of God. We need to be listeners, don't we? We need to listen before we speak and make sure that what we say is appropriate and right. And we all have failed there. We've all said things that we wish we could just reach out and grab it and throw it back. But you can't do that. Once you say it, it's said. And so it says a wise person here in verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. It's filling up our heart, wise in heart. These commandments are going to be part of our life, and we're going to understand them, and we're going to obey them. But a prating fool shall fall, one that just utters everything, lives as a, let's say, from emotional standpoint, quick to get angry, quick to say what they think. Difficult to work with folks like that. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Proverbs 1, verse 5. Again, this is our verse that we use in review. It has to do, it gives the definition for a wise man. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So it's something that is learned, that is received, that is accumulated. There's accumulated wisdom. Things that we hear, ways of doing things or thoughts that's helpful. You can cut down a tree with a dull axe, but it's a lot easier and faster with a sharp one. Well, this wisdom that God gives us in our life helps us to cut down the tree better. It sharpens our axe for what the Lord's leading us to do. It helps us to get the job done easier and faster. And so that's a good thought there. Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, there's a lot that's being said here in this chapter and all the way through about the lips, the tongue, which is talking about what we say, our conversation. When you find a verse that refers to our lips or our tongue, it's referring to our speech. And how important, what do we have? How does someone know what we are or who we are? It's by communication. We speak somehow, either saying it or writing it, but it's words that we use. And that's what he's talking about here, how important that is. He that keepeth his mouth, Proverbs 13, verse 3, keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That's talking exactly about this prating fool here in verse 8. Then in verse 9 it says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. The walking uprightly. Now, I automatically think of walking uprightly, standing up straight, but it's talking about the path or the way of our life is upright and honoring to the Lord. It is not disobedient. It's not sinful or wicked or ungodly. It's a godly walk. The word walk here in our path is, again, it's talking about the path of our life or the walk of our life, where we live, what we do, where we go, the path of our life. I'll give you the reference again in Psalm 23. We walk in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Speaking figuratively, but yes, directly at the same time, the path of our life. And so verse 8 says, or verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. That means that there's going to be the proper steps, wise steps, sure steps, and confident steps. You're confident in the way you're going. You know, if you're walking in the way of the Lord and letting His Word and the Spirit of God and the Word of God guide you, if I'm doing that, then I can have confidence in the direction I'm going. I can have confidence in that. I don't have to worry. I'm on my way to heaven one day, and the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If I let the Lord order my steps, then I can have confidence that it's going to be a good step. It's going to be the right step. I don't have to worry about that. If the Spirit of God and the Word of God lead me in a particular direction. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Walking uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a beautiful verse. What a wonderful verse. It's so true. He's never failed those that walk uprightly. The faith and trust in His guidance and His provision has been experienced for centuries by many people, those in the Word of God and those that have followed the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, now this is going with the latter part of verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now this understanding of being known, revealing, whatever is in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth. And the direction that we take, the manner of our life reveals who we are and what we are. He that perverteth his ways shall be known. How do we want to be known? Do we want to be known as a child of God or a child of the devil or a child of the world? How do we want to be known? We should care about that, shouldn't we? If I'm a child of God, I should care what others think about me. Now, I'm not talking about putting on something, a false impression. I'm talking about having confidence in me and my testimony and my life and my sincerity that I love the Lord, that I know the Lord, that I trust the Lord, that I believe His Word. But though it's true with both. Those that do not follow the Lord, it's evident by the life that they lead, by the words that they say. Did you know if you talk with someone long enough, you'll find out what they believe and what they are? You'll find out what's important to them? You'll find out about them as you talk with them and as you observe their life. What direction are they going? Are they walking with the Lord or are they walking with the world? You see? It's an attitude, it's an understanding, it's an awareness, it's all of that. And God wants to protect us from the dangers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we are protected when we walk with Him. He that perverteth his ways, this perverting, talking about a changing of his ways, shall be known. That which is separate, that which is crooked, that which is away from the straight way or the right way, God's way, it's talking about there. And then in verse 10 it says, He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. This is one of the verses that it's not necessarily a contrast when it also uses the word but there to separate the statements. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. This is talking about those that have deceitful plans in mind. You know, and they're winking to their friends, yeah, we're going to take care of this. This is what we're going to do. They're being deceitful when dealing with someone. It's a deceitful way of operating is what he's talking about here. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. Those that are deceitful, those that are tricksters, those that would take advantage of other people is a type of person he's talking about here in verse 10. But a prating fool, again, shall fall. Guess what happens? The prating fool or the chattering or the blabbermouth fool, they tell what the secrets are. they tell what they're doing. It comes out, doesn't it? They can't keep it to themselves because they're foolish. They have to tell somebody. Did you know most of your crimes, the reason that most crimes are solved because the ones who committed the crime can't keep it to themselves? I shouldn't tell that secret. Do I have to worry about that with anybody here? Yeah, they can't keep it to themselves. They're either proud of it or they're just so proud of what they accomplished, they got to tell somebody. Yeah, they're going to fall. You know, reap what they sow. All right, moving along here, verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Look at verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Here we begin verses 11 through 14. This one of the passages that talk about the mouth or the lips. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, this is a tremendous verse. You might want to write this one down. Keep it in mind. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That's a good one. But you know, this is something the world doesn't understand, and many so-called Christians don't get this either. They've never read it, never understood it, never considered the fact. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt communication? Well, that covers several things. It may be profanity. It may be vulgarity. There is a difference. Profanity has to do with saying things using the Lord's name in vain. There is vulgarity, talking about that which is not, let's say, proper or right. Bathroom humor. A lot of your children's movies and shows today have a lot of bathroom humor incorporated in that. And the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearing. That word edifying means building up, strengthening, helping someone. Let our speech shouldn't be corrupt. It shouldn't be tearing down. It should be exalting the Lord and helping others is what this is saying in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My cousin, who's with the Lord now, who was my Sunday school teacher when I was a teenager. He taught the teen class at church. Tremendous Bible teacher. He died at age 50 of leukemia. Went home to be with the Lord. When I was 15 and I got saved when I was 11, had not gotten into church, he came after me and encouraged me to get in church. And I came and got right with the Lord and started attending his Sunday school class And he was, like I said, the youth director, youth Sunday school teacher. But I remember he had a sticker on the dash of his car, and it talked about profanity. And it said profanity is the effort of a feeble mind trying to express itself forcibly. I've never forgotten that. I looked at that. You know why I looked at it? Because when I was away from the Lord, I used profanity. I used language like that. And think about that. It's the effort of a feeble mind trying to express itself forcibly. Why talk that way? It's talked even in the Bible, it's referred to. Corrupt communication. Profanity, that which profanes the Lord, that which is ungodly, that which is not right, that which is immoral in some cases, yes. All right, let's look at this next verse. Well, let me read verse 11 again. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. There is a well full of good things there, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Those that are away from the Lord, is their mouth, the things that they say, is characterized by violent words, hateful words, corrupt words. Now, verse 12 is the verse that I'd like to spend a little time on here this morning. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. This understanding, especially, I'm talking to church folks today, right? God's people, as we believe, we trust. If you're here today and you know the Lord, I'm going to share something with you in verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife. That's true whether it's in the world or in church. Sad to say, sometimes it's in church. That's very sad because church ought to be heaven on earth as much as possible. No place for hatred. No place for division, for strife, for envy. All that division that takes place in churches today. And I've witnessed it. I've witnessed more of it than I care to even to mention or to remember. Very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. And there's things about this I'm going to say here as I read some verses. I think there's people that are members of churches that are actually not even saved. Amen. Did you know joining a church does not save you?
Amen.
Being baptized will not save you. It's personal faith and trust in the Lord. It's receiving Him as your Savior, realizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So those that have this spirit of division and not peacemakers, but what's the opposite of a peacemaker? A troublemaker. How do troublemakers get positions of leadership in church or positions of influence in church? It happens. And let me give a little disclaimer here. I don't know anything about you or the folks of this church. I don't know anything about the history of this church. Just basic things. Individually speaking, I don't know. I don't know. So I won't say I'm shooting from the hip, but I'm not aiming at anybody personally. It's scattershot. Okay? Scattershot today. And this applies to me. You know, when I point the finger out there, I've got three of them pointing back at me. So I have to apply it to me as well as you. Look at verse 12. Let's look at it. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Let me quickly give you what this is saying in the last part of verse 12. It's not saying that we're sweeping things under the carpet. It's saying that we deal with these issues, sins within loved ones in our own life or folks within the church, our own family. But it says, it's talking about we do not highlight the sins and faults and failures of fellow Christians. A child of God should not be highlighting that. That means getting on the phone and telling what somebody else did or said. That means trying to stir up, get a crowd together, getting folks on this side and that side against someone So sad. So sad. Let's look at it. Love covereth a covereth all sins. Can you imagine this? I love my wife, and I wouldn't want to do anything to make her look bad. Say we went out to eat, Bob Evans, and we got done eating at Bob Evans, and she says, "I'm going to go to the restroom before we leave," and she steps out to go to the restroom, and I stick my foot out and trip her. And she takes about 4 or 5 steps to fall. And I just laugh. I got that on video. I'm going to post that. Would you think that I love her?
No.
Why? Because I highlighted something embarrassing. Embarrassing. Same thing with things in people's lives. Should we be talking about what's going on in people's lives to embarrass them? Do we not realize that that is embarrassing what they did or should be? If they're a child of God, they're ashamed of it. They're not proud of it. So why should we be talking about it? We should be praying for them. And by the way, if somebody comes up to you and says, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and you should say, hey, well, let's go talk to them about it. Oh, no. Well, if you're concerned, let's go talk to them about it. If there's a problem here, no. Don't want to talk about it. I'll give you some verses here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Not a godly man, but an ungodly man diggeth up evil. What is this digging up evil it's talking about here? And in his lips there is a burning fire. He can't wait to share it. He's dug something up about somebody, and he can't wait to share it. That's an ungodly man. The Lord wasn't like that, by the way. Did you know the Lord knew every action and heart and experience that all his disciples had? And he could have told anybody about what they had done or where they had been or what they had said about his disciples. He could have. He knew everything that they'd ever done or said. But he didn't. You know why? Because he loved them. And he didn't want to embarrass them. And he wanted to lift them up, not tear them down or destroy them. He wanted don't get me wrong. There's things that I can do to disqualify me from the ministry, to disqualify me from church leadership. There's things I can do that can disqualify me for a position. And the fellowship can be restored, but I may not be able to be restored to the position that I had because I forfeited that away by my behavior. You see. Pastors and deacons, there's qualifications there in the Scriptures for these offices. And you can be disqualified from those positions. There's even a Sunday school teacher, I could be disqualified from the position of teaching Sunday school. Because it doesn't mean that you can't have fellowship with me if I get right with the Lord. I've just destroyed my influence, okay? And it wouldn't be proper or right for me to have that position again. That's possible. We're not talking about, you see, there's a little principle here, maybe a large principle. Public sin, public confession. Private sin, private confession. Did you get that? If I sin publicly, I should confess publicly. If I sin privately, I confess it privately to the Lord. I don't want you telling me everything you ever did. Lord already knows that, and I trust it's under the blood. And you don't want me telling you everything that I ever did or said or thought. Right? Are we on the same page here? I think we are. You remember Gilligan's Island years ago? You remember Gilligan's Island, the episode where somehow Gilligan ate something or something and they had the ability to read each other's mind? And first of all, they thought, hey, that's a good thing. And they realized pretty quickly it was not a good thing. Hadn't changed. Still not a good thing. Let me give you another verse. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Fat spirit, right? Fat soul. Fat in spiritual things, having an abundance. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Doesn't sound good for those troublemakers. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. How about Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9? He that covereth a transgression, that refers back to the last part of verse 12. Love covereth all sins. He that covereth a transgression, Proverbs 17:9, seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You've read that verse before. You've read it before. You know what it means.